This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and the path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
Hello, this is Kevin Harris, and you're listening to the weekly radio program, The Invisible War. Today, we have a special program, and you'll want to pay close attention to the subject matter. So much of what we've been talking about leads to this topic today, that is, revival and spiritual warfare. We have in the studio with us once again, Dr. Rob Randall, our host and teacher of the Invisible War radio program. Dr. Randall's teaching is taken each week from his book by the same title, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy, published by 21st Century Press. Now, you will want to get this valuable Bible-based study on spiritual warfare by visiting our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or you can order your copy of The Invisible War at your local Christian bookstore. And if you've missed any of Dr. Randall's teaching on spiritual warfare, you can go to our website and click on the broadcast button and download any and all programs of the Invisible War radio ministry for free. Dr. Randall, we've been talking about the connection of revival with spiritual warfare, and obviously the enemy wants to thwart any revival that might break out among God's people. And we discussed last time the hindrances to revival. So review with us some of the hindrances to revival that the enemy throws in our way.
You know, the enemy has many, many tricks in his bag of evil against the church and, of course, against revival. Revival, again, is this cleansing work of the Holy Spirit, enabling the church to do the work, the supernatural work of God, as it is in the Lord's heart upon the earth. Now think of it. The hindrance of blindness, the hindrance of inflicting the body, the hindrance of diversion, the hindrance of discouragement, and the hindrance of division and isolation. And today we want to talk about the hindrance of the counterfeit. There are many, many, many ways. He's had thousands of years to perfect his craft. Think of it. And he is a good counterfeiter. There is the hindrance of the counterfeit.
Dr. Randall, we want to spend some time today on the counterfeit revival. There are many so-called revivals today that we suspect are nothing more than counterfeit revivals. So let's spend some time on that today, and I want you to help us to distinguish between the real and the counterfeit.
The Lord tells us in Matthew 24, verse 24, that in the last days there will arise false Christs and false prophets. Now that's disturbing, but it's still true. And in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, even Satan himself can transform his appearance into an angel of light. And if Satan has the ability to transform himself into an angel of light, think about all the demons that can do the same. He is a master counterfeiter. And the only way the church can know the difference between the genuine and the counterfeit is through the discerning of the Spirit of Almighty God in and through our lives. All spiritual manifestations, such as tongues, or healings, prophecies, dreams, or visions, must be tested. I want to say that again, Kevin. All spiritual manifestations, all supernatural manifestations, such as tongues and healings, prophecies, dreams, and even visions, must be tested. 1 John 4, verse 1. If any of our listeners want to do more study in this area, I want to recommend a masterful classic work on the subject of spiritual counterfeits. It is a book entitled War on the Saints by Jesse Penn Lewis and Evan Roberts. You will want to get the unabridged edition by Thomas Lowe Publishers out of New York. This book, like no other I have ever read, carefully points out how the enemy was able to use spiritual counterfeit manifestations in shutting down the Welsh revival. I want to say this again. Every revival in history has always been shut down by the enemy through counterfeit spiritual manifestations.
Obviously, then, Dr. Randall, we would want to know how someone would test a spirit to see if it is of God or if it is a counterfeit spirit.
There's a threefold test of supernatural manifestations. Number one, the integrity of the Word of God must remain. It must stand up under the scrutiny of the Word of Almighty God. 1 John 4, 1 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12, 3, and Romans 10, verse 9. And number two, the Holy Spirit produces humility, not pride. It produces obedience to the Word of God, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And the holiness of life is increased. And the love and tolerance for all believers is encouraged, 1 John 2, verse 5. And number three, the body of Christ is edified, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14.
Dr. Randall, along with the hindrance of the counterfeit, what are some more hindrances that we need to be aware of?
There's a hindrance of accommodation and compromise. Jeremiah 2, verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hoed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Think about it. We can create the cheap imitation of the real thing that does not hold the living water of God, and yet it may look good, it may sound good, it may feel good, but the Spirit of God has nothing to do with it. The pleasing men rather than pleasing God. In Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade man or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." How often have we been guilty to make sure men were pleased rather than our Lord? Today we live in a time characterized by consensus. Maggie Thatcher said, "Wherever you find consensus, there is the absence of leadership." Lawyers are trained to argue both sides of a dispute to find a compromise. Relativism is the driving philosophy in our education system. That is, there is no right or wrong. There is no absolute truth. Truth is a personal matter not to be imposed upon anyone. Keep it to yourself. Abortion on demand, the killing of innocent children, is the result of a culture that has embraced relativism. Let's apply this to the demands that God has put on His people if they are to receive revival and cleansing so they can be used of Him. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves." What if we don't think we ought to humble ourselves, Kevin? What if we decide that we don't want to humble ourselves? That's for someone else. Then we'll never know revival. But He says, "If my people will humble themselves and pray." What if we decide that we've prayed enough? We don't want to pray. We don't want to work and pray. What if we decide that we don't want to seek the face of the Lord anymore? But He says, "Pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways." What if we decide we don't think that our sin's that bad? Maybe it's bad for someone else, but it's not bad for us. We don't want to turn from our wicked ways. The Lord says, "If you will humble yourselves, pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land." If we decide that we do not want to submit to what the Lord has said, then we will not hear from Him. We will not have our sins forgiven, and our land will stay sick before Him. Kevin, if we do not believe that God's prerequisite must be met, if we continue to believe that we can change the rules, we don't really have to obey God, then we will never know revival in our time.
Dr. Randall, I think we come to a very important area now in our program, and that is where we are in the North American church, the Christian church in America today. And perhaps you have a word for us as to where we stand and what we need to do as it relates to revival.
I believe that the single most reason why revival eludes the North American church today is because of a serious hindrance. This block, I believe, to be a false religious system. This false religious system is a consensus, an unholy mixture of good and evil. You know, Kevin, it only takes a little bit of dirt to compromise a clean glass of water. Most counterfeit religious systems have just enough truth in them to make them receptive by those who refuse to be discerning. I confess to you, much of what I have seen in my religious background has been contaminated by a false religious system I call Christian materialism. It is a compromised religious system that leaves the believer powerless in the supernatural war with the powers of darkness. Christian materialism attempts to give religious justification for our selfish desires to possess and to use those possessions for the purpose of illicit personal power and control. In its essence, it is a toxic brew of worldly philosophies and practices mixed with religious traditions and Christian-like verbiage for the purpose of making it acceptable to its vulnerable carnal target. It is a carefully crafted cover for the invasion of a false god the Bible calls Mammon. This chief demon seeks to bring us into spiritual bondage through the offering of this alluring false religious system as a substitute for the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as in any false religious system, Christian materialism looks good, it sounds good, and of course, it feels good. However, when its covering of religious traditions and ecclesiastical rituals are removed, we find a deadly demonic scheme whose purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. The only way to clearly recognize the enemy's deceptions is when we measure them by God's truth revealed to us in His Word.
Could you explain to us some of the false tenets of Christian materialism?
One of the false tenets is God wants you to have money. Therefore, the possession of money is a sign of God's favor and blessing. Of course, money may be an indicator of God's blessing, but not always. Why would God, who is wise and good, give riches to someone who was not spiritually mature enough to honor Him with those riches? Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 13. He talks about clearly how the Lord is not going to give anything to anyone unless he is able to honor the Lord with what he has been given. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We can observe the influence of this false religious system in many church practices. One such practice is the choosing of leaders on the basis of their worldly possessions. The Bible warns us about this dangerous practice. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 10 through 12, "And do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ, but the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." Kevin, instead of looking to those who might help us finance our agendas, we should be looking first and foremost to those whose lives manifest the Spirit of Christ with a humble servant's heart for positions of leadership. Jesus said of Himself, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Matthew 20, verse 28. Many a pastor's spiritual integrity has been compromised because they have embraced at some level this crafty deception of Christian materialism. Instead of shepherds, Jesus calls them hirelings in John chapter 10, verse 12 through 13.
But Dr. Randall, don't the scriptures teach prosperity?
Kevin, of course they do. In 3 John verse 2, we read, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." Here's the problem. We have allowed our worldly environment instead of scripture to falsely define prosperity. There are 11 words in the Bible that are translated prosper or prosperity. I want you to hear me today. Not one, that's right, not one of these 11 words is necessarily related to money. These words given to us by the Holy Spirit, translated prosperity, mean simply to go on well without hindrance. Prosperity means to go in peace.
Now, Dr. Randall, you're not saying that money is evil, are you?
Absolutely not. It is not money that is evil. The Bible says, "For the love, the worship of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang." 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. How many folks in your family? How many folks in my family who have been saved, but they fell away from the faith because of the deception of money? The question is not whether or not we possess money. The question is better asked, does money possess us? What is our attitude, the condition of our heart concerning money? Some of the most selfish people I have ever known were those without money. And some of the most spiritually poor people I have ever known had great worldly wealth. On the other hand, some of the most spiritually rich people I have ever known had great wealth. Because of their commitment to Christ, their wealth could not possess them.
Wow, it really is then a matter of the heart.
Is it the desire of your heart to honor the Lord Jesus in the handling of whatever He has given you? If not, there's a spiritual rat in the woodpile. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Colossians 3:17. True Christian stewardship comes down to two things, Kevin: ownership and gratitude. Is it Christ who is Lord of all? John 3:31, Ephesians 1:20-22, and Philippians 2:9-11. Everything belongs to Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and those who dwell in it, Psalm 24:1. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is the God of our provision. It is His nature to provide for His own. Amen and amen. Matthew 7:9-11 and Philippians 4:19. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. And in James 1:17, we are told, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. As the Heavenly Father allows us to share in His provision, it is to be used in gratitude and glory to Him. Do you see it? All things exist for God's glory alone. Colossians 1:16. When we allow anything or anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the glory for what He has done and for what He deserves, we become accomplices to Satan's rebellion. Here is what all of us must face, hopefully sooner rather than later. We can't have it both ways. No matter what we have been taught through this false religious system of Christian materialism, no one has ever been or will ever be able to serve God and mammon. Riches, Matthew 6:24. When the two are bundled together by the strands of false religious practices, the result becomes a convoluted, contaminated counterfeit used by the enemy to steal the will and purposes of God for our lives.
Dr. Randall, just because this deception is subtle and a well-crafted deception, we're not off the hook, are we?
Each of us, Kevin, must look carefully at any area where we might have believed the lies of the enemy rather than the truth of God's Word. Our very freedom in Christ is at stake. No matter how many times we say it or how hard our flesh wants to believe it, God will not contradict His Word. Remember, all the enemy needs to invade the church and bring his evil corruption upon her is our disobedience to the Word of God. In the practice of Christian materialism, one will discover an absence of the manifestation of God's power, which always results in spiritual defeat.
Dr. Randall, walk us through how to renounce any involvement we have had with mammon and this false religious system called Christian materialism.
The following prayer is a prayer of confession and repentance concerning any unbiblical relationship to mammon and this false practice of Christian materialism that has or is being used of the enemy in your life. Again, words are not magic. This is not a formula. This is simply what the Bible teaches concerning this false religious system. As in any prayer, the issue is the attitude of our hearts. If you're ready to be set free from this hideous, this dangerous deception, if you want to be set free so that the Spirit of God might be able to use you in great power in these days, would you pray this with me? Would you follow this along with me? It is a bit extensive, but follow me as I pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you in the name which is above all other names, the wonderful, precious, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a child of God purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hereby renounce any claim Satan and all his forces may claim ownership of me with regard to my finances. I come before my Heavenly Father through the shed blood of Calvary to ask forgiveness and repent of my disobedience and unbelief. I repent that I have exchanged the value of the kingdom of heaven for the desires of my heart. I repent for laying up treasures on the earth. I repent for loving money, for serving riches, for my greed and my covetousness. I repent for making money my defender, my security, and my protection. I repent for believing that chance and spells and fate and superstition and luck will provide the money I need. I repent for the dishonest ways I have gained wealth. I repent for seeking, accepting, treasuring, or profiting from money received from the sorrow and pain of others. I repent for my robbing God by the withholding of His tithes and my offerings to Him. I repent for not feeding the poor, nor taking care of the widows and the orphans. I repent for my critical spirit concerning the supporting of missionary and evangelistic ministries. And Lord, I repent for any and all the ways I have allowed myself to worship at the false altar of mammon. I ask the Lord Jesus to break all ties to mammon, either as a result of my disobedience or that which has been assigned to me as the result of my ancestors' disobedience. I hereby affirm that my Creator and my Heavenly Father is my provider. I receive all that God has for me through my inheritance as a joint heir with His Son, Christ Jesus. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me see money from God's eyes. Help me worship our Heavenly Father for every financial need He meets according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, only give me that which brings glory and honor to You. I pray this all in the name of my Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've prayed that prayer with me today or you'd like some more information, I'd like to hear from you. Would you call us at 1-877-808-8886? That's toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. Or you can contact us by means of the internet. Go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. You can email us there with your prayer requests. If you have any questions concerning the teaching that you have heard, we would love to discuss the matters with you. Just let us know how we can serve you today. Remember, it was for freedom Christ came to set us free. Don't settle for anything less than the freedom our Lord Jesus bought for you with His blood at Calvary. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for your time around the things of heaven. We look forward to next week when we come together again to study the Word of God around these eternal matters in the invisible war.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcast information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.